Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, let's go through and localize these week two matchups. Texans-Ravens speaks for itself. Then have the battle of the unbeatens in the AFC South. Jacksonville at Tennessee against the Titans. Gardner Minshew coming off a 19 of 20 performance against a Titans team that won ugly on Monday, which to me is actually more impressive sometimes, the teams that can win ugly than the teams that just have their A game and go out there and dominate. I think you have to win ugly at times if you are a good team. I was also impressed, though, and I know that you think that Minshew mania is going to be done, Wade. I was impressed with Jay Gruden and how he handled things his first time calling plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I think Minshew went 19 for 20 or whatever it was, and so he had a hell of a game. I mean, do I expect him to have a game like that against Tennessee? Hell no. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to run away with this ball game. But Minshew, I'm not going to say the Minshew mania is over. He is going to be a halfway decent quarterback this year just because they got weapons that people don't really have high expectations for. They're going to sleep up on people and beat them like they did the Colts. But is he going to be the future of the team? Hell no, I just don't see it.
Also in the division, Minnesota, who the Texans play week four, at Indianapolis against the Colts. It'll be the first start for Jonathan Taylor. Minnesota in serious jeopardy of going 0-2, as is, but you think that the Indianapolis Colts, not the Vikings, are the team that's going to go 0-2.
Yeah, I think the Vikings went up against a damn good football team in the Green Bay Packers last week, and they lost a shootout. I look at the Vikings like this, man. It's the fighting Kubiaks. They're going to be able to run the ball against the Colts. And the Colts, I don't know what they were thinking with their game plan last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Got Phillip Rivers throwing the ball all over the yard. He usually throws the ball to the other teams two or three times in the game, and that's what cost you, and that's what cost them last week. So I expect them to run the ball at the Vikings as well. It's probably going to be one of the faster games of the season because it's going to be a lot of running the football, but I think the Vikings come out on top, and the Colts start off 0-2.
Last night, Thursday Night Football, two Texans opponents. You heard it right here on Sports Radio 610. Cleveland tops Cincinnati 35-30. Nick Chubb, 22 carries for 124 yards, two touchdowns. Interesting game. I think Cleveland is a team that is – I wouldn't sleep on the Cleveland Browns. Let me just put it that way. There's a lot of talent on that squad, and if they're running the rock like that, I think they could very well be a playoff team. But I was also extremely impressed with Joe Burrow and the way the offense was run. There was a point in the game where they went down 15 and they needed to score, and they were lining up quickly. They were running the offense. The touchdown ended up getting called back, and they had to settle for a field goal. But I was impressed with the Browns, and I was also at the same time impressed with the rookie and his control of the offense and his control of the huddle.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow is going to be the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. I said it felt the same way about Kyler Murray last year. I think Burrow's rookie year is going to be better than Kyler's. I just think Joe Burrow's just shown you what he did in LSU was not a fluke, and he's going to be a good quarterback in this league, a damn good quarterback, if not elite, before it's all said and done. Cleveland Browns, man, I love their running game. I love their two-headed monster at the running back position. I don't trust Baker Mayfield. And so Baker Mayfield, man,
I honestly think they'd be better with Keenum.
They probably would.
I truly believe that.
To the other team. I look at Baker and I say, man, he's just an accident waiting to happen. And so with that being said,
he almost screwed it up yesterday with that pick inside near the end zone.
Yeah,
when they were trying to go up two possessions.
Yeah, so I just don't see Cleveland as a playoff caliber team, but they can run the ball on anybody. The offensive line is good at running the football, and they got two edge. You got Chubb and you got Hunt, man. That's a problem. Both of those guys are bell cow running backs and they're on the same team. So Cleveland's going to keep themselves in games because they'll be able to run the football. But Baker Mayfield, I just don't trust him.
Stefanski was in Minnesota when they went to the NFC Championship with Keenum. So I think Case Keenum would be able to do a lot with this offense.
Did you see Baker's interview after the game?
He acted like that. He just like shut everybody up.
You beat the Bengals, bro. You beat the Bengals.
It's hard to like him. He makes it very difficult.
And you didn't really do nothing. Like, come on now, Baker.
Threw that pill to Odell Beckham. Chiefs at Chargers, the team that beat the Texans in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Chargers have had some bad luck, man. Derwin James out for the year. Then you lose your best linebacker last week. Anthony Lynn's trying to get the best of his guys, but, man, some bad luck for them, and they're not quite facing the ideal team that you want to face when you're shorthanded on D.
Yeah, if you don't have the personnel to match up with the Chiefs, you're going to have a long day at the office. And a lot of the personnel that they brought in specifically to handle the Chiefs, because they're in the same division, a lot of those guys are hurt. And so with them not there, they really don't stand a chance. Tyrod Taylor is going to try to control the clock and not turn the ball over, which is a recipe for staying close. But they're not going to even be able to really compete with the Chiefs. Chiefs are going to win this running away.
Bills at Miami. Buffalo, the team the Texans beat in the playoffs last year. They've added Stephon Diggs. They hope Josh Allen, who had 3 total touchdowns in week 1, can take that next step. Lopez is buying Josh Allen as a guy that's going to emerge into that second tier of quarterbacks. I'm buying it as well. I think Josh Allen is going to be one of those guys that we talk about being the most improved player in the NFL. And Buffalo has a championship roster around him when it comes to the defense and everything else. Are you buying or selling Josh Allen?
So I'm going to buy Josh Allen because he's being put in the position to succeed. The offense that they have built around him is perfect for his skill set. The only problem I have with Josh Allen is he does some really dumb stuff from time to time. It's like, why would you do that? He flips the ball when he's not supposed to. He turns the ball over in inopportune times. And he did that a couple times last week, but they were so good offensively and defensively that it didn't matter. They overcame him. They were playing the Jets. So that kind of is what it is. But I'm going to buy Josh Allen because he's a really good athlete. He has a howitzer. He can throw it all over the yard. And he's got receivers that can go get it. So they're going to be able to do numbers.
Speaking of the Jets hosting the 49ers. Frank Gore, he's starting versus his former team. Frank Gore is starting this week.
Yeah.
His son is starting at running back as well the exact same week as a freshman.
That's crazy, dog. I mean, Frank Gore, you talk about being durable. You talk about being reliable.
And he got hurt in college. And he's one of the most durable players in NFL history for a running back.
I guess he made some of that money up that he lost by hurting his knee in college. Like, Frank Gore, you just got to salute him. And he's going to go out there and he's going to probably have 20 carries for, like, you know, 82 yards, and they're going to lose. But he's going to go out there, and you're going to say, you know what, Frank Gore can still do it. And he's not going to turn the ball over. He's going to catch a few passes. Salute to him. But this game, the 49ers lost the first game. They're going to blow out the Jets to get to 1-1.
It's just crazy because you go back to – I remember when he was a freshman at Miami with Clinton Portis on the team. They had a couple dogs. They had Willis McGahee. He averaged 10 yards as a freshman and then got hurt. Just absolutely remarkable what Frank Gore continues to do. The Rams at the Eagles. Eagles, probably the most disappointing loss of week 1. They lost to the Washington football team. I think the Rams might surprise some people. And I'm not going to sit here and say that they're a contender in the NFC, but I think when we've talked about that division, we've talked about the NFC West, I think Seattle gets love. I think San Francisco obviously gets love for coming off the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people were sipping the Arizona Cardinal Kool-Aid. But the Rams, I think that's an under-the-radar, pretty solid football team that could be a wild card spot. There could be 4 teams from that division, honestly, in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's what I said before the season. I think the Rams are going to start off the year 2-0. The Eagles have too many key injuries. Jason Peters is not the guy that he once was. You saw that against Chase Young last week.
Chase Young's a monster.
He's a monster, but he's still a rookie. And rookies don't really come in and just dominate like that. Jason Peters, like I said, he's just not the same guy that he was in years past. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, or at least he should be. But, you know, their offensive line is not what it was. And Carson Wentz, man. Carson Wentz, each week he goes out there, I feel like he's taking steps back. And he has some weapons around him, especially the 2 tight ends, but he didn't look that good against the Washington football team. So I think the Eagles are going to start off 1-2, man. Rams go 2-0.
Former Texans defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and the Broncos take on the Texans' next opponent, the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much of a problem is Pittsburgh?
Bro, when you watch them on defense, I'm not going to get to the offense yet, but when you watch them on defense.
Well, they're athletic and huge. They're just athletic and
TJ
massive.
Watt picking off passes. You got what's the other outside linebacker? Bud Dupree. Like, they look like running backs.
Hayward in the middle?
Yeah, they look like running backs playing defense. Like, just super athletic, and they're goons with it. Like, that defense is a problem. And then offensively, Roethlisberger started off slow. But once he got going, that receiving core looks legit. They did have Connor went down with the injury.
But Benny Snell looked good.
Snell came in and he looked good too. Pittsburgh, I actually picked the Texans to beat Pittsburgh when we went through the entire season because I wasn't fully
sold.
Didn't
know Big Ben was back.
Yeah. Watching them the other night, they look damn good, man. They look damn good.
I think you're going to have to keep an eye on Big Ben, though, because he was admittedly very, very sore this week, he said. So yeah, it's not necessarily the first game. It's going to be how he holds up over the season because he said he went from feeling like he got hit by a car to he fell out of a car, and he said, hopefully by Friday I feel like I fell off a bike.
Hey, man, getting old, man. That's what happened.
17 years.
That's a lot of football, a lot of balls that he's thrown around the yard, man. He's getting old, bro.
Bathroom Casanova has some years on him. Man. Panthers at Tampa Bay. Tom Brady looking to bounce back after Bruce Arians called him out. Does Tampa Bay get their first win in the Tom Brady era?
Yeah, even though the Panthers are going to make it close. The Panthers' offense, I thought, looked pretty damn good last week. I think they lost it was 34-30. That was a good game. And Bridgewater looked good. I like Robbie Anderson and what he brought to the table with them. And, of course, McCaffrey is McCaffrey. But Tampa Bay is going to get back on the right track. Their defensive line, I mean, their front seven, when you look at them, like, person for person, that's one of the scariest front sevens I've seen in a long
time.
Their
defense is no joke.
It is a problem.
Their defense is no joke.
And so Tampa Bay gets back on track. They go 1-1. And the Panthers start off 0-2, but both games you can say, after our 0-2, we feel good about where we're going. I don't know if you can say the same thing about here right now.
Atlanta at Dallas. Now, I threw this out there when I was talking to Lopez during the offseason that I thought the Texans should bring in Aldon Smith. But even I can understand why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Just because that rap sheet is next level, and it's next level knucklehead. And quite honestly, there was actually recent stuff that went on. But I think the most impressive thing I saw in week one, and you can speak to this because you played in the league for 12 years, and we're talking about how sore Ben Roethlisberger is after a year off. This dude, Aldon Smith, did not play in the NFL for 5 years, and he might have outplayed Aaron Donald in primetime. 11 tackles, a sack. That was impressive, man.
Yeah, he was picking on the tight ends of the Rams. Higbee was struggling trying to block him. Everett was struggling trying to block him. He was rushing the passer. Like, Aldon Smith, thing about it is he didn't play for 5 years, but he was young as hell when he stopped playing. So he's still in his prime physically. He's a problem, man. And their defense is going to get better because what's up, boy that's coming back? The other defensive lineman that's coming off of the suspension.
Randy Gregory.
When Randy Gregory comes back, they're going to be even better up front.
They did lose their best. I think their most important defensive player, Van Der Esch, with the collarbone.
Yeah. The Cowboys are a weird team, man. You look at them offensively, Dak Prescott looked good. Like, I'm watching the game like, yeah, Dak is making money. But they only scored, I think, like 17 points.
Yeah.
I don't know why McCarthy, I don't know why he didn't kick the field goal.
Should
have been a tie game. That was really weird. I don't understand the logic behind that at all. And it cost him. And so, you know, if he keeps making decisions like that, the talent that they have might not matter. You know what I mean? You can have a lot of talent, but if you ain't making good coaching decisions, it'll cost you ball games, and it cost the Cowboys in week one.
Wade Smith, Landry Locker around the NFL here on Football Friday, presented by the greatness of Hoppadillo by Carbach. A couple of games that could really change the landscape for the Houston Texans that we need to make note of in the next segment. And also the difference between the Chiefs and the Ravens on the offensive side of the ball. That's next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610, presented by Carbach's Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
You know, to give credit to one another, I think they both are very talented and they both have a very good feel, you know, for the game and the passing game specifically. And then they have developed, I think, a good feel for one another and how they're going to react in different situations. And that's what you're seeing, I think, show up on the field.
It's John Harbaugh talking about Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, who have combined for 12 touchdowns in the regular season since 2019. That's as many as the Texans wide receivers 1 through 4 combined. Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cook since 2019, 12 touchdowns. Mark Andrews, the tight end for the Ravens, 12 of his own. We'll get into the Ravens offense and the differences and maybe some similarities between them and the Chiefs offense the Texans face. But we're wrapping up around the NFL, and there's a couple games that I think can be connected around here. They're easy to localize. Starting in Washington, or in Arizona, actually, Cardinals facing the Washington Redskins. Nuke Hopkins coming off a career day on Sunday. Bill O'Brien was actually the topic of Ron Rivera's press conference 2 days ago. It was a talking point. And here is the coach of the Washington football team being asked about King Bill 1,400 miles away.
DeAndre Hopkins was traded this offseason. Did you have any sense that he was on the market? And then also, just what do you think he does for them?
No, we had no sense he was on the market. Has the ability to be explosive. It's obvious based on how many times he was targeted and the ball was thrown to him that Kyler's become very comfortable with him.
Were you surprised that he was traded?
Yeah, just like everybody else. We were all surprised. I mean, you know, here's a talented player that was in playing for a team that he had played very well for, and they traded him, and but it was a decision that was made, on another team.
Your thoughts?
I mean, it's not surprising. I never believed that the most that you could get for DeAndre Hopkins is what they said that they got. I found it hard to believe that when you saw Stephon Diggs get traded for what he was traded for not too long after DeAndre Hopkins was traded, that there was no way that they really vetted out every possibility to get him moved. And so, I mean, you hear Rivera saying like, hey, I didn't know nothing about it. Because you know the next question would have been if he was like, you knew about it, well, why didn't you try to get him? You know what I mean? Why didn't you try to offer up? He's like, no, I don't want any part of that. I didn't know nothing about it. If I knew, I would have tried to get him on my team because he's that good of a player. And it's funny. It's not funny, but it's crazy. Like,
yeah, it damn sure ain't funny.
It's
Smitty,
not funny,
okay?
But it's crazy. Just like that comes up in a press conference, and you get info on something that's happened thousands of miles away from that particular game. And damn, I mean, it just lets you know that this team. There's no way you don't take a step back when you lose a player of that caliber, but it compounds things when you don't get the value for him that potentially you could have gotten, and that affects you for years to come, and that's the one of the most disappointing things.
I want it to go away.
Can we talk about that game? Can we talk about that game and how the Arizona Cardinals are going to go 2-0? Can we talk about that and how the Arizona Cardinals are going to go to the playoffs this year? Like I said, a few months ago, as soon as they made the trade, I think I tweeted it right when the trade was made. Well, Cardinals are going to the playoffs. That's what's going to happen.
Could I interest you in a couple stats?
Yes.
We like to localize it here on In the Loop. It's actually our mindset. DeAndre Hopkins has more catches than every Texans wide receiver combined through 1 week of the season. Let's go to the other side of the rock. Angelo Blackson has more sacks than the entire Texans defensive line 1 week into the season.
That's not true. Jacob Martin got a sack.
He's not a D lineman.
He was lined up in a three-point stance.
No, that's not a D lineman.
He's a linebacker.
That's a linebacker, sir. D linemen are not 220 pounds.
Oh, man, that's tough, bro.
Or
that's
whatever
tough,
he is. Man.
Make a team better. T-E-A-M.
Hey, Hop is who Hop is, and he's going to continue to be that. And in that offense, he's going to get the ball just as much as he got in this offense.
I got kicked in the junk 3 times, a 3-piece combo by the Arizona Cardinals. And these are the 3 kicks to the junk that I got. Okay, and I want you to tell me if I'm overreacting to these kicks to the junk.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to disagree with the DeAndre Hopkins. That was the biggest kick to the junk you could have endured.
No question. Still bothers me.
Angelo Blackson getting a sack. The first sack he's had in a long time, that was a kick to the junk.
That's his karma. That's all that is. Right, he might not get another sack for the rest of the year. But week one, that type of thing happens when just based off of the different moves that were made this year, that's the type of thing that's going
to
happen.
Third kick to the junk from the desert. I don't know why Jordan Thomas got cut. 4 touchdowns his rookie year. He looked good in camp. Jordan Thomas gets cut. Arizona, he actually chose to go back to Arizona or to go to Arizona instead of coming back with the Texans because I think he just wanted to find a different situation. They protect him on their practice squad, so they think that high of him. And they decided to go with Kahale Waring, the water polo tight end, instead of Jordan Thomas. Waring plays 9 special team snaps in his NFL debut, and then he goes back on IR the next couple weeks, and they're bringing up guys from the freaking practice squad, and Jordan Thomas is out there in the desert freaking practicing, Wade Smith.
And he's protected, too, so you can't get him back. I mean,
good Lord.
I mean, I understand why that would be a kick in the junk for you. Listen, Jordan Thomas is a better player than Kyler Waring right now, but Jordan Thomas, his problem is that for him to be that big, he's not a physical football player. And so if you're going to be that big and not physical, then you better be the number one option that we're throwing the ball to on the offense, and he was not that. So here we lie. I think they thought that they could sneak him past, and it didn't work. He decided to go somewhere else, and so now he's in Arizona, and he's good. He's being protected. They like what they see in Jordan Thomas. And the Texans tight end group got worse by the decision that was made there. Now, will it get better over time? Who knows? Maybe Kyler Waring becomes something, but you
Come
haven't.
On.
Anything is possible, Landry.
Okay.
Anything is possible.
Okay.
Anything is possible.
Right.
You know what you had in Jordan Thomas.
I mean, he only played 9 special teams. I mean, they didn't even throw him out there on the field.
Because he's not ready. He's not ready to play on offense. If he was ready to play on offense, he'd play, right? He's not ready to play on offense. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm just telling the truth. He's not ready to play on offense. You
what?
Were at the practice. He was getting cussed out. Remember that?
Yes.
Because he's not ready. But they're cussing him out because they think there's something there. Because if you're a bad football player and they don't think you have any ability, they ain't going to talk to you. They're just going to let your ass go. But they're cussing him out because they're like, hey, we need you to get up to speed because you need to start paying off of what we think you can do. So that's why he was getting yelled at and cussed out and all that type of stuff, because he's got to pan out.
All right. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. You remember what?
Kevin Garnett said. The final game that I think is the most localized. We'll skip past Lions and Packers and Giants and Bears as they can go have a pillow fight or something like that. New England at Seattle. The only reason that I'm bringing this one back is because we know that the Pats are coming here in November.
Yeah.
I expect. And it's crazy that I expect this because New England had more opt-outs than anybody. They lost all 4 starting linebackers, and they're bringing in a quarterback that's completely different from Tom Brady and Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I already was impressed with what I saw from New England week one.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go on the road and win in Seattle, dude, I mean, what can you say? I mean, that's – and quite honestly, it wouldn't shock me. But that would be something that, I mean, what?
I would be surprised if they can go to Seattle and win that game. Because Seattle,
would you?
They look damn good week one.
But would
and
you?
And I think they're going to continue to look good. But I tell you what, the Texans better hope that that Cam Newton is banged up by the time they play that game. Because if they play that style of ball that they played week one, and they're still doing that in week 10 or whatever they play, that's a problem. Because they're coming downhill. It's very simple what they're doing, but they're putting you in a position to where you have to cover everything, and they're going to make a decision. Cam Newton's going to make a decision, and you're going to be wrong, whatever you choose to do. They ran the same RPO play, it seemed like, 20 times, and they just kept getting plus plays out of it.
Dude, Orlovsky broke down what they did. It was impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, they were running motion, and they were pulling guys. And then,
they tailored the offense around their quarterback.
Wait, they what?
They tailored the offense around their quarterback.
Say it one more time, Mike Jones.
They tailored the offense around their quarterback. You went from Tom Brady to Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm. And it took a week, right?
It took about 3-4 weeks.
Okay.
How long was he? He was with the Patriots for what, about 5 weeks before the season started?
Something like that.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay.
But McDaniels already had that in his back pocket. Remember, he tried to make the Fighting Tebow's work.
He did.
So he already had that. He'd been probably waiting for that to happen. He probably enjoyed when Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback those few weeks.
Don't bring that up.
Yeah, same thing happened.
Don't bring that up.
I'm just saying.
That one sucked. Landry Locker, Wade Smith with you, Football Friday. The difference between the Chiefs and the Ravens offenses and Whiskey Johnson next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
I go around the stadium before the game and play catch with a little kid in that front row. Showed up 2 hours before the game to see them turn to their parents and excited. There's nothing that beats that.
Potty Mouth JJ talking about playing with the kids. We need Potty Mouth JJ on Sunday. We need nasty ass Potty Mouth JJ. By the way, that was a lab creation, so no JJ Watt. He can still be your hero. Loopholes, don't worry.
I saw you made Debbie Texan mad the other day, man. Don't
get mad.
Don't mess with Debbie now.
It's not someone that you want to make mad.
He sucks at football.
But I need some Potty Mouth JJ on Sunday. Wade, you do some charity work. Your foundation is still going strong during the pandemic. Here's Potty Mouth JJ being asked about his foundation work during the pandemic.
Hey, JJ, I'm a little off topic here, but I couldn't help but notice that your foundation's work continues despite the pandemic. How have you guys kind of kept that going, supplying the sports equipment to these young people? And then some of these videos that they post thanking you are pretty awesome. How do those hit you?
It's been difficult not having the Charity Classic this year, not being able to bring in the same amount of funds that we normally do. Obviously, we're considering doing another fundraiser like we did in the past. Those videos and photos have been inspiring, and it's been great to see.
JJ, I feel your frustration, bro. In these times, man, you can't do the things that you did in the past. I feel you, JJ. I know there's certain things you wanted. I want to do Bulls and Blackjack this year. Can't do it because it's, you know, we got a whole full-on pandemic going on, so
it's
you can't
potty
do
mouth,
things.
JJ, by
I
the
mean,
way.
Excuse me, potty mouth, JJ. I feel your pain, but I understand. And so, you know, but I can appreciate the fact that he's still trying to get things done. We're trying to get things done with the Wade Smith Foundation as well, man. I totally feel potty mouth, JJ, on this right here.
That was an in-the-loop lab creation if you're just tuning in, okay? So, JJ is still pure, although he did drop an S-bomb.
That was real.
Press conference, and that was 100% real, just like Whiskey Johnson is real. Here's Seth Payne this morning talking about the most important key. If you take anything away from this show today with Wade Smith and with John Lopez, Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, and myself, Landry Locker, loopholes, if you take anything away today heading into Sunday, this is the most important key to the game that you will hear.
There's something where sometimes you can get to a certain point, but then ultimately it holds you back. And I can't stop thinking about the phenomenon of, let's call it Whiskey Johnson, where when you got the Whiskey Johnson, and it's like, it does certain things for you. It helps you last longer and what have you. And maybe it makes you better in one respect, but ultimately you're never going to be the world's best lover if you're relying on the Whiskey Johnson to always bail you out. And I feel like O'Brien does certain things that gets his team to a certain level, but then after that, it's just you got the. This offense has Whiskey Johnson.
Yeah.
It's not. It's like a. It's been. It's one or two extra shots beyond the point of ideal returns.
I have no idea if the Texans are ready for this game on Sunday. I have no idea if the coaches, the players, the staff. I have no idea if they're ready. Whiskey Johnson.
Yeah, the Whiskey Johnson.
The Whiskey Johnson.
All sometimes right. The Whiskey Johnson gives great gifts, and other times it just embarrasses the hell out of you.
Fair enough.
That analogy brought to you by years and years of lulling women into thinking I had more endurance than I did based on the fact that I was drunk the first time we heard.
Good Lord.
Hey, man. Shout out to Seth Payne, man. Seth, I love everything about that. Everything about that was beautiful because if you have ever experienced Whiskey Johnson, you know what he's talking about.
You do.
You know that, hey, sometimes you have Whiskey Johnson.
And you know right off the top if it's going to be a good one or a bad one.
And it's either really damn good or it's really damn bad.
Yes.
It's no in between.
Yes.
But when you talk about consistency and getting over the hump and being the best and the greatest of the great, you can't depend on a Whiskey Johnson. You got to make sure you get your cardio in. You got to make sure you're eating right. You're being healthy. Because I know when I work out a lot, I'm ready to go more often than other times. So I'm just saying, if you want to be the best, that's what you got to do. But if you want to maintain, Whiskey Johnson, you can't go wrong there, because more times than not, you're going to be there, ready to go.
It's like a Reaction Monday. Like, there's no worse walk of shame than waking up the night after bad Whiskey Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you basically just want to wake up and smoke a cigarette in a robe the day after good Whiskey Johnson. So hopefully we're smoking cigarettes in robes on Reaction Monday. The difference between the Chiefs offense that the Texans faced and the Ravens offense that they're going to face on Sunday. What are the biggest differences? What are the biggest similarities through your eyes? Because I think we can both agree these are the two best offenses in the NFL.
Yes. Ah, Seattle's up there, bro.
They got a good offense.
Seattle's up there. But I would say they're definitely in the conversation. For sure the Chiefs and the Ravens are they're right there. Them and Seattle are neck and neck as far as And then Green Bay looked damn good, too. There's a lot of good offenses in this league.
What's the biggest differences and similarities between the Ravens and the Chiefs?
So the similarities between the two is they both have dynamic quarterbacks. They have quarterbacks that are mismatches for whoever you put up against them. They both have dynamic tight ends that you can get them the ball. And if it's one-on-one coverage, they're going to win that matchup. Those, to me, are the biggest similarities. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs coming into the game, you didn't think that the running game was going to be that successful what it was against the Texans. But if they can continue that going forward, that's going to be another similarity that they have with the Ravens. The Ravens' run game is historic what they've been able to do over the years since Lamar Jackson has been a quarterback. The fact that he runs, you know, for around 1,000 yards a season, and then he has 1,000-yard rushers, guys like Ingram. Last year they had another guy. I'm not going to say his name because he's no longer with the team because he did something that I don't appreciate. So I ain't going to mention his name. But they got J.K. Dobbins instead. And so when you have guys like that on your roster, you can run the ball on anybody. And then when you have offensive linemen that are brought in, guys like Orlando Brown, I don't know if Ronnie Stanley's going to be there this week. I haven't looked at the injury report today, but
questionable.
Those guys get after it in the run game. And then the run game and the pass game is married up to where, as a defense, you don't know what you're going to get from play to play because it all looks the same. It's very tough to deal with. That's another similarity between them and the Chiefs, because each and every play, you don't know what you're going to get. They do it in different
Like a box
manners.
Of chocolates?
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. A lot of the stuff looks similar, but it turns out, oh, this looks like an outside zone run. Oh, now it's a screen to the running back. No, that looked like a screen to the running back. Oh, actually, it's a screen to the tight end. Oh, no, it's a fake screen. It's actually a go route down the sideline to Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of stuff that they do with the Chiefs. The Ravens do a lot of similarities. But defensively, I think they're probably night and day. When you look at the defensive backs for the Ravens and the defensive backs for the Chiefs, the Chiefs' DBs coming into that game were not very good. Now, they played at a level where you're like, damn, maybe they got some of these young guys. But the Ravens coming into this game, you say, they got a damn good defensive backfield, and that's the strength, one of the strengths of their defense.
I am very worried about Baltimore. I actually think their offense is better than the Chiefs. I know that's crazy. Now, it might not correlate to the playoffs, but I think as far as regular season, I think that Lamar Jackson is Peyton Manning-like. And let me explain it. Obviously,
explain this one.
All right. They're not the same guys, obviously. Like, they're the complete opposite as far as the way they play. But I think there's a chance that 8 years from now, 6 years from now, we're talking about Lamar Jackson as one of the best regular season quarterbacks of all time. Peyton Manning was always one of the best regular season quarterbacks of all time, but he struggled in the playoffs early in his career, and eventually he had to get the monkey off his back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he had to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's how I look at Lamar Jackson. I look at it as maybe, in the playoffs, it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle for him, and maybe teams will catch up to him. But I think that when it comes to the regular season, I think Lamar Jackson is going to be one of the best regular season quarterbacks of all time.
I can see that. I see where you're going there. It makes sense to me now what you're saying, because they did have very similar starts to their career. I think the difference is that when you look at Lamar Jackson, the way that their team is built, it's actually built for the playoffs. So I would be highly shocked if within the next 2-3 years, they don't have at least one, maybe two Super Bowl appearances. Their team is built to go on long runs of the playoffs. Now they haven't had the ability to actually execute that and get it done, but their team is built to play in the playoffs. They can run the ball on anybody. And the part when you talk about the Texans and you relate it back to the Texans, if you do say Lamar Jackson is the same as Peyton Manning in the regular season, that's a problem for the Texans because they play him in the regular season. They play him in 2 days.
Yeah.
And so that means Peyton Manning in the regular season, yeah, he did numbers.
Yeah, you don't
that means
that.
Lamar Jackson in the regular season, he's going to do numbers.
He's done
and
numbers.
So we got Friday Future Triple coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
He's going to do numbers.
Do you like the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin? It's one of my favorites.
Love it. It's a great one.
I think it's one of my favorite movies.
How high is it on the rung of the Seth Rogen, that, what do they call it, the Brat Pack? What do they call that?
I don't know.
Whatever those groups
are. All those movies are awesome. But that's one of it. Superbad's up there.
Superbad. What's the one?
I like The Interview. I think it's underrated.
I haven't seen that.
There's a lot of them. But the reason I bring up 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Sarah Marshall, that's the one
I'm trying.
That's
a great one.
That's way up.
One that the reason I bring up 40-Year-Old Virgin is because in that movie, when they're sitting around, I think they're playing poker.
Yes.
And Steve Carell's drinking the Fanta Orange.
Yes.
They're talking about him being a virgin.
Yes.
And what's black dude's name in the movie? The real funny dude. The bald dude.
I feel like it starts with C. Carl. Is it Carl?
The bald dude. But he tells Steve Carell, he says, man, if you're going to lose your virginity, you got to start out with a hood rat. You got to hook up with a hood rat. You got to get with... Basically, he's saying you got to get with a girl that knows what she's doing, mm-hmm, because after that, it's only going to get easier,
yes,
and you're basically going to be a Casanova.
That makes a lot of sense.
I can connect that back to Anthony Weaver, because Anthony Weaver's first two games as a defensive coordinator, this is about as hood rat as it could possibly be in the bedroom. You're playing the Chiefs, you're playing the Ravens, and while the schedule isn't easy, it's going to be easier. So I feel like, just like they wanted Steve Carell to hook up with a hood rat, I feel like Anthony Weaver is basically hooking up with hood rats, and it's going to be much easier for him the remaining 14 games of the season.
I can fully appreciate the way your mind works, Andrew. It doesn't make any damn sense, but it makes perfect sense. And it's pretty damn funny.
It's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Romney Malco.
Romney Malco.
That's his real name, but okay. I don't know his character name.
I don't remember.
I don't remember his character name.
I know Andy. Andy was Steve. Figgy, what do you know about that Whiskey Johnson?
It's all right.
Yeah, have you experienced the good and bad of Whiskey Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never experienced the bad of it.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Right. I can feel that. Let's go tripping. Let's trip balls here on a Football Friday, Sports Radio 610. All right, I'm going to start this off. We're going to go around the room. Me, Figgy, then we'll save the best for last, Wade Smith. My prediction, you heard Lamar Jackson talk about it. This was Lamar Jackson being asked about Devin Duvernay, wide receiver out of the University of Texas.
Oh, he's explosive. He's fast. He got speed. You know, if you're looking at him running, it don't look like he's moving, but he's running faster than you think. He done ran past some of my passes during practice, so I just can't wait to see him just go. Like, when we all out there, he's out there with us on offense, and he just go and do his thing. I like to keep him under the radar right now, though, so I don't really want to talk about it.
And he is under the radar because he only had one catch in his first game. But just like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where you weren't really familiar with what he do at the NFL level, I think after Sunday we'll know about Devin Duvernay. I think there's a reason that Lamar Jackson wants to keep him under the radar. I think Devin Duvernay scores a touchdown against the Texans on Sunday, and we're talking about yet another element for the Baltimore Ravens. Figgy?
Yep, I think Randall Cobb. I'm gonna go with Randall Cobb. I think he's gonna have a good game.
Okay.
I think he's gonna have over 75 yards.
Okay.
This game.
Okay.
I like that.
I think he's gonna step it up.
Okay. Okay, I like that prediction. Here's mine right here. And it's a twofer. Lamar Jackson will throw for four and run for no touchdowns on Sunday.
So he's gonna
throw. He's gonna throw for four and run for none. He's gonna throw four touchdown passes against the Texans, and he's not going to rush for any.
I think Jordan Akins establishes himself as the tight end for the Houston Texans. I'm predicting at least six catches from Jordan Akins. I think Jordan Akins emerges as the number one tight end. We talked last week, and I said that I thought this was going to happen. Jordan Akins will be the undisputed number one tight end for the Texans the next time we talk on Reaction Monday.
Jacob Martin will have another sack this game. Okay. One sack. Okay.
David Johnson.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Over 125 yards rushing.
Say that again.
David Johnson, running back for the Houston Texans. Mr. I was traded for Mr. DeAndre Hopkins. We'll have 125 yards rushing against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Mark it down.
All right. It's marked. J.J. Watt, 1.5 sacks. J.J. Watt, 1.5 sacks. He brings down Lamar Jackson 1.5 times on Sunday.
Deshaun Watson will have over 50 yards rushing.
Pray to God.
I'll take that.
Pray to the heavens. I like where you're going with this Friday future trip. You're having them do all the things that we want them to do, what they need to do to give themselves a chance to win. I could appreciate that. Zach Cunningham will force a turnover by the Baltimore Ravens.
All right.
Pick, fumble recovery, whatever it may be, but he will force a turnover by the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, we got to end it the way we do every football Friday. What's the score going to be, Wade?
Oh, I get to go first. Final score, 34 Ravens, 24 Texans. They lose by 10. They do not cover. That's what I see. They have too many good players. The Texans, they just don't match up well with the Baltimore Ravens. You're going to see the Texans' offense look better, but you're only going to be able to generate 24 points. 34-24 Ravens.
Biggie.
35-28 Texans.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
I see you, Figgy.
I think they're going to come in a whole different team this week.
I'm not even going to make my prediction. I was going to pick the Ravens.
Wait, what? What?
All right, 38-24 Ravens. Okay. 38-24 Ravens. I'll go with that. But Figgy's picking them to win.
He's picking them
to
win.
He's the only person at the station to pick him to win. My man. Thank you, Figgy.
I don't know, man. I think Show might pick him to win, bro.
Okay.
Show is the silver lining guy. He is the consummate, the perennial optimist. So I'm going to say that Show is going to predict that the Texans win. He's going to be right there with you. You're going to have a co-signer.
Well, good.
Fig.
Good.
If they don't win, we're going to be walking in Monday looking stupid.
Nah, you'll be all right. It'll be okay. We'll forgive you. All good. It's been a fun edition of Football Friday. Shout out to the OG. Taking care of his mom's funeral. So he's out there in San Antonio. Always good to have Smitty in, especially on a Football Friday. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Thank you very much for the contributions.
I would also like to give a shout out.
Nope, too many shout outs from you, John McClain. If you have the weekend off, enjoy it. If you don't, at least there's going to be less traffic. So always look on the bright side. For the OG John Lopez out in San Antonio, for Wade Smith filling in, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I am Landry Locker. This has been a Football Friday edition of In the Loop, presented by the greatness of Hoppadillo by Carbach. Wade Smith and Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next. Wade, hit him with the trademark.
It's always real, fellas.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.